Can't you see it? The world running on EVs and renewable energy? Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
Dude. I guess you've got a point there.
This is Sports Sunday.
Hey, Skid Mark Steve.
Hey, dude.
You still just hanging out playing Nintendo?
Well, if you must know, I'm in my second year of med school, and I'm training for the summer games. What are you two up to?
Just hanging out, playing Nintendo.
A recap of the sports week, a preview of today's games, and next week's big stories.
Do you think Shaq got rich playing in Orlando? Hardly. He made his fortune moving to L.A. You know how much he makes now?
As much as he made playing in college?
What? No.
Now, here are Rashawn Taylor and Joe Fisher.
What happened out there?
You know, it was a team effort, and I guess it took every player working together to lose this one.
Thanks, Doug. And so...
Hey, want to do an interview with me?
No.
With Sports Sunday on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
Bob, in all my years of calling games, I don't think I've ever been this excited.
You're excited? Feel these nipples.
Hour number two, Football Sunday, right here on 1080 The Fan. And boy, we got fireworks already, baby.
Let's go. Bo Nose touchdown.
Oregon Duck to Oregon Duck. Bo Nix to Troy Franklin. Within 2.5 minutes of the game starting, big bomb downfield. Troy Franklin walks in the end zone untouched. Holy hell.
That's what Bo told him. Hey, man, do that thing that we used to do in Eugene. Oh, thing.
That was the best moment for Ducks fans in football over the last 2 weeks.
They needed it.
You're right.
I'm telling you, they needed it.
I mean, hell, after obviously the playoff and then seeing Ohio State win again and then seeing Justin Herbert's performance last night, the Ducks fans, they needed this.
They needed something good to go for them.
Wow.
You know, so I think they'll definitely take that.
What a start for the Broncos and Bo Nix. Check down artist himself, man. How about that? That's crazy. That check down went 43 yards. That's wild.
They've been throwing it over the top to Mims, to Sutton. Like, kind of seems like almost every game the past 4 or 5 games, 4 touchdowns. I'm shocked that Buffalo got fooled in literally the same exact way. It almost looks like a play they drew up 2 weeks ago.
Well, Buffalo finds themselves down right away in Buffalo. We'll see how this game turns out. I mean, man, can you imagine? Yeah, I think Rashadi just said it. Like, if Denver goes in, I don't know if you, Schultz, did the commercial. If Denver goes in and gets a dub in Buffalo,
just beats the brakes off of the Bills.
Oh my God,
that would be awesome. And mind you, I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves because yesterday it looked like Justin Herbert to start the game. Okay, they're moving well. They've got 6 points on the board, and it looks like this could be a game, and then it wasn't. So I don't want to get too ahead of myself, but if Bo Nix is throwing the ball anything like he just did.
No, that's what
did,
we do. We overreact after, right? Yeah. 2.5 minutes of a football game.
Yep. Well, game's over.
Bills are screwed.
Pack it up.
Yeah.
Bo Nix, Hall of Famer. Check it now.
Let's go. So the other games today, though, Green Bay, Philly. This one's really interesting because you're going to get – Jalen Hurts coming back after missing 3 weeks, I want to say, or is 2.5 weeks. I know he checked out of that game against the Commanders when he got that concussion, then missed the week after against the Cowboys, and then missed last week as well to wrap up the season. So curious to see what he looks like. I mean, I didn't put it in the picks, but, I mean, Eagles are 5.5-point favorites. I would think that the Packers can cover this, but also the Packers aren't in Lambeau. And
no,
it seems
not.
Like that is when they play their best and just are able to keep teams out of arm's reach and then some is when they're at home. But when they're not at Lambeau, this team is not nearly as good and Just like to see how Jalen Hurts performs. Like, we'll see what Jordan Love looks like in this game, too. I mean, he's been great since the halfway point of last season. To think that the Packers were 2-6 last year at one point, and then they just totally turned their season around and are now one of the best teams in the NFL. This game is very intriguing to me. This game and then the Bucks Commanders, they're both like, I don't know what the hell is going to happen. Yeah. I would think that the Eagles, they should win. They should pull this out. But seeing this be a field goal game, I wouldn't be surprised at all.
Yeah, I mean, here's the one thing I'll say about the game, just in general today, and even tomorrow. It doesn't feel like there's a marquee game to, like, spend your time on. Mind you, we're all going to watch them because it's the playoffs. But, you know, looking at these matchups and like, okay, they're good matchups. But nothing that makes your eyes go like, oh, my gosh, can't wait for this game. And then to speak on the Lambeau situation for the Packers, hasn't been as great of a, I don't want to say a homestand for them. But, you know, of eight games, they lost three and three really good teams. The last game, they lost to the Bears at home. Just the last game of the season. Now, mind you, it's the last game of the season, so there's a lot. You can take what you want to from that. But they also lost a close one to Lions at home, you know, towards the beginning of the season. They also lost the close one to Philly at the first game of the season, you know what I'm saying, at Lambeau. And so I think this Philadelphia team.
That was the Brazil game, actually.
The Brazil game, forgive me, yeah. So,
which is basically like Lambeau. Basically,
it was like, yeah, pretty much, you know.
One and the same.
For the most part. You know,
Green Bay, Wisconsin, and Sao Paulo.
What a great trip, though, you know, to go to Brazil to play a game. Either way, they had a matchup with Philadelphia early in the season. Didn't go the way that they planned, you know. And so now is their time to see if they can right the ship. But honestly, I think playing in Philadelphia is going to be a lot different. I don't know if the elements are going to be a factor today or not, but it's January in Philadelphia. I'm pretty sure that's going to be a factor, but you play in Green Bay, so it shouldn't
say,
be.
But, you know, January in Green Bay.
Yeah, it shouldn't be too big for you. But I like this Green Bay, excuse me, this Philadelphia team a little bit more than I like what Green Bay is able to do. Although I do really like, you know, where the Packers organization is going. I love Jordan Love. You know, I think he's somebody that nobody expected him to be as good as he's been over the last couple of years, especially post Aaron Rodgers. You know, those are some big cleats to fill. And he's come out in these last couple of years and played phenomenal football in his second stint in the playoffs.
Yeah, and then tomorrow the Rams-Vikings game, which has been moved to Glendale away from Los Angeles because of the fires down there.
Prayers with everybody from Los Angeles that's dealing with those wildfires.
Did see 35,000 season ticket holders bought tickets to the Arizona Stadium, though, for the Rams. So sounds like that.
Good for the Vikings fans to be able to do that, man, and make that a home game for them.
What are you talking about? It sounds like the Rams fans are going to make the trip because it's a
LA
it's,
fans don't even show up for their team in Los Angeles. You think they're going to go no. to what, so another they just state?
I mean, considering they don't have anywhere to go right now. You know,
actually, maybe they will go to another state.
It would make sense for them to kind of, you know, make the trek out there. Especially right now, I can imagine you probably just need some happy in your life.
A little distraction.
And, you know, for at least for a couple hours, man, or a couple days to make that trip to Arizona.
Hey,
and just
don't discount those snowbirds in Minnesota, though, flocking down south to Arizona.
No, come, and guess what? They need you, snow bunnies.
I'm sure those celebrities hold up in all their 5-star hotels in Beverly Hills right now. And like, yeah, I got to do something with my money. Yeah, let's go and go to a football game. And,
whatever you got to do to make it right now and to feel good.
But that game, again, very intriguing just because the Rams beat the Vikings earlier this year in a matchup. And the Vikings, yes, they're 14-game winners. They have just been a very strange team to me all year. The fact that they were able to do this week after week. Now, I don't know if they're a little bit shaken. Confidence is a bit shaken after what happened against Detroit.
Shouldn't be.
It shouldn't, but gosh, I am just very curious. The Rams are also a very weird team, right? Like, one week they can be putting up 44 points against the Buffalo Bills, right? And looking like one of the best teams in the league, best offenses. And then the next week, it's like, we're going to score 12 points against the Bears.
I think 9 is enough.
Yeah, that one is really all three of these games, maybe outside of the Eagles one. I anticipate the Eagles winning this. But the Vikings-Rams, that's a toss-up to me. The Commanders-Bucks, that's a toss-up to me. I really don't know what's going to happen. I would lean, If I'm going to go anywhere with all three of these games, I'm going to go Eagles. I'm going to go Commanders to pull out the upset at home. But again, like, the Commanders to me aren't that much of an underdog, like the way that they've looked this season.
No, no, they're not. And I honestly, this whole only one seed, the one seed is going to get the playoff bye, it's going to change things, right? Because if it were the 1 and 2 seed, that kind of makes things look a little bit different. But I think just taking it, making it just one seed that kind of gets the bye, has kind of changed the way we look at it. Because now we look at a team like Minnesota and be like, oh, and are they good enough? You know, and considering they won, what, 15 games or, you know, on the season, like, are they really good enough? Because they didn't get a bye. And so, yeah, we got to remember that the 2 seed is still the second best team, you know, in the division. Or excuse me, in the conference at that point. They just don't get the bye anymore. And I think really taking that away, it's kind of giving it a stigma almost that, man, maybe they're just not good enough.
Let's take a break. Let's talk about some college football, shall we? Hopefully you're enjoying this Bills Broncos playoff game, super wild card weekend. And but you are keeping us on the radio dial or on the Odyssey app or on YouTube, listening to us somehow, some way. But let's talk about these college football semifinal matchups we saw on Thursday and Friday.
Ugh.
And then preview the championship game a little bit. We will have a show before the championship game next Sunday, but be fun to take a look at what we should anticipate. We do that next here, Football Sunday, 10 a.m. The Fan. All right. College football, man. I can't believe I'm saying this, but go Irish.
Oh, my gosh. Like, I don't know if there are two teams more than I hate. I mean, only Tennessee is the only other team that I really hate more.
Oh, you don't even hate Tennessee.
I hate Tennessee. Like, I hate Tennessee.
You hate Tennessee track and field.
No, I hate football game, the football, football in general at Tennessee. There's more to that story. I'll get there at some point. But I don't know if there are two, especially considering the region that we're in, I don't know if there are two teams more hateable than Ohio State or Notre Dame.
Well, I said to Schultzy last week that if it was Ohio State, Penn State national championship, I would probably have to take a shower out.
I feel just as dirty about this game, though.
I ain't got no beef with Notre Dame. With the Catholics. Well, yeah. I mean, you know, maybe the Catholic Church, you know, there's something to say about that. But as far as Notre Dame, gold helmets, you know, the gold domes, you know, golden toppers. I'm all good. They can go Notre ahead and win. Dame. Also,
Brady Quinn.
Your guy, Marcus Freeman. The only black head coach.
Why is he my guy?
Tell me why he's my guy.
You know why. Say it.
You know exactly why.
Molly McGrath willing to say it.
Also, didn't know he was part Asian. Also, so also not your guy.
By the way, credit to Marcus Freeman when Molly McGrath did try to make it about race after the game. Like, you're the first African American coach to get to the national championship, or saying that it's a great accomplishment for an African American coach or whatever
it is.
What do you say? You know, what do you say to
Jordan? Clearly, doesn't care.
No, his response showed that he didn't care. Nor should we, because he's like, you know what? I hope all coaches of all races, white, Asian, African American, can actually, you know, get to the level that I'm at. It's a great moment. It's not about me.
I hate it. Acknowledge Rashad, the cultural.
I don't care about your opinion on this. I care about Schultz's opinion as a white man about how Marcus Freeman should
feel. No, it's that Molly McGrath, the little white girl, is asking about it. That's my. Well, hey,
I mean, I'm glad that somebody recognized it and spoke about it. I think for a cultural significance, especially at a school like Notre Dame, like, come on, man, a black head coach at a school like Notre Dame or a school like Penn State, like, historically, that would have never happened, you know what I mean? And so, or a black head coach in Boston for the Celtics takes the team to the champ, like, that, come on, these are things
that Doc Rivers fella is all right to me.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's just kind of like they like Doc until you don't win, and it's just kind of one of those things. So yes, I totally understand the cultural significance of it, and really at times like this, considering there are so few black head coaches in really prominent positions like a Notre Dame, like a Penn State, I would, as a black man, I would hope that you take that opportunity to say.
Do you think she asked that question to James Franklin?
If he'd have made it, I'm sure it would have came.
I don't think she was asking. I think it was the other one, Katie, whatever her name was, asking James Franklin stuff.
I don't think it's a weird question. I think it's an honest question, considering the climate that we live in. Like, hey, man, you were the first, because African American coaches haven't historically gotten that opportunity. And things have even changed in the NFL with the, you know, the Rooney rule and all type of stuff to where you have to interview, you know, an African-American candidate and everything. So, yeah, there is some cultural significance to it. And sometimes I just wish guys, especially black men, would just say, man, is a great accomplishment. You know, the goal is winning a national championship regardless of, you know, what race you are. But, yes, it's considering the history of Americans, considering the history of this organization, yes, that is a great feat for us. Move on. Don't have to be a big thing.
His mother, Chong, is South Korean.
And okay. And my son is half Asian, right? You know, so it's like, yeah.
My son is a quarter Filipino.
There you go. You know what I mean? So it's my, oh my gosh, look at you. You know, so yeah, it's kind of one of those things, man. It's okay to comment on those things. It shouldn't be the full headline, but it's okay to comment on these things where they happen.
To the football part of it, though, can we never do a toss sweep at the goal line ever again? So referencing the Texas Ohio State game.
I don't get it.
And also, that game really, you know, it didn't come down to two plays, but it's crazy that two plays changed the trajectory and the outcome of that game so much. I mean, right before halftime, Ohio State scores on a screen play for like 80 yards or whatever it was to give them the 14-7 lead and take any momentum that Texas might have had going into that locker room right out the window. And then in the latter part of the game, you have a goal line stand from Ohio State. I mean, Texas is at the one. How you don't quarterback sneak, fullback blast, the tush push, Arch Manning running the ball four times. Steve Sarkisian and that team getting way too cute at the 1 yard line.
Oh, they thought they had it, which was crazy for a Sarkisian team or Sarkisian led team to take those kind of weird risks.
And I don't know if it was the second down play or the third down play. And then it's just running a toss sweep at the 1 yard line, just saying like, hey, I know we only have 1 yard to go, but I got an idea. Let's move the ball back 5-6 yards.
It's like lining up in the shotgun when you're right up on the goal line.
Yes,
like,
what are you doing? It's like you have 1 yard. Why are you trying to put yourself at even more of a disadvantage by moving the ball back? It is that drove me nuts. And then sure enough, on the fourth down play, I mean, it's you need it. You even if you stop Ohio State, they have the ball at the 1, the 5 yard line, the 6 yard, whatever. Because, yeah, that toss sweep knocked him back a few yards. So, you know, they turn over on downs. There's still a chance, right? Because Ohio State is then pinned deep. But then they sack fumble for what is going to be go down as one of the biggest plays in playoff Ohio State history with Jack Sawyer then getting the scoop and score to make it a 28-14. At that point, it's like, Texas, you effed up. This game is over, done. The way that your offense has looked today, it ain't happened. This ain't your day. And I think at that point in the game, there was 2.5, 3 minutes left in the game when Jack Sawyer got that scoop and score. So it's like, yeah, this is, we're done here.
And it's not even like Ohio State played a great game. Like, they weren't super
I mean, Jeremiah
sharp.
Smith was kept in check.
He had one catch for 3 yards on the game. And this is somebody that completely took the top off Oregon the entire game. And there was nothing they could do. Travion Henderson had one catch, albeit for a touchdown, but just one catch, one touchdown for Will Howard and an interception. Like, this was not the sharpest game Ohio State's played the entire year. Texas just didn't look ready. And I don't know what it is about lining up against Ohio State to where these teams just don't look like they're prepared to play. Because we saw the same thing from Oregon. Like, you know, they started slow, and they finally made something happen by the end of the first half. Came back and had another big touchdown in the third. And was like, okay, this is going to be a game. And then Ohio State was like, no, it's not. Sorry, it's not going to be close. Quinn Ewers might have been one of his worst games as the quarterback of Texas. One of his worst
games.
Oh,
I would say that. What is it? I think that game against that first game against Georgia.
No, I'm saying one of his worst. I mean, I think it's one of his worst. Not his worst, but one of his worst games that he's kind of had. And so I don't know, man. Ohio State just looks scary. And considering that they've beat up on the Big Ten and the Pac and the SEC in consecutive weeks, and now gets a chance to do it to an independent squad like Notre Dame, like, I think this is Ohio State's year, and at least we got a punch in on them at one point.
As you mentioned, Ohio State, they do just kind of have that team of destiny feel to them as well. Like them losing to Michigan was like the best thing to happen to them. Annoyingly so. But Notre Dame's defense, man, right, it's legit. If there is a unit that could possibly shut down this Ohio State offense, I mean, if Texas was able to essentially keep them in check for the most part, then this Notre Dame defense, the way it's playing, it has a great chance of being able to do that.
And
the way that Notre Dame's offense works as well is they like to run the ball. They like to kill time. I mean, if you can keep that Ohio State team off the field, that offense off the field, and put up some points just enough and have that defense keep that offense in check, I mean, I think Notre Dame has a better chance than anticipated, but Ohio State is the favorite for a reason in this game.
They are, you know, but I always kind of worry about Notre Dame just because, honestly, they haven't played a lot of great teams. You know, they had Texas A&M at the beginning of the season. They had a win against 15 Louisville, 24 Navy, you know, for 19 Army. All good teams, but they haven't played a top 10 team all year. And so your defense, I expect it to be good.
Well, they just did?
Well, they just did, you know. But I expect them to do work like that. And even Penn State still had a chance, you know, to win that game, if we're being honest. So their defense didn't completely shut them down. But, you know, I think Ohio State is better than what Louisville is, or they're better than Georgia Tech, and they're better than Stanford, and, you know, all those teams. So I think that defense is great when you're going against teams that are just, they don't measure up.
And yeah.
So that's been my whole thing about them. But I don't know. I've been saying that about Notre Dame. They just keep, you know, running through teams. So maybe they run through Ohio State. I just think Ohio State has too much for them to handle.
Well, again, outside of that USC game where they gave up 35 points, I mean, they gave up stomping teams. Yeah, they gave up 24 against Penn State, but they just don't give up a lot of points. They've shut down a lot of teams and what they do offensively. I'm loving what this Notre Dame defense has been putting on tape here the last few weeks. I mean, shutting down Georgia. I mean, Penn State also, you could say that Drew Aller did not do himself any favors in that game against Notre Dame. I mean, like, he got bailed out by the refs a few times. Like, he had some passes in that game that was just like, buddy, what are you doing? Which is funny because I feel that maybe over here in this region that we were maybe a little blinded by what Drew Aller did in the conference championship game.
Right.
Because a lot of this season, I did not trust the Penn State offense. I did not trust Drew Aller. And then it really took that one game for me to be like, oh, well, Penn State, I mean, maybe their offense can do something. Maybe they can put up points. Maybe Drew Aller is better than we anticipated. I mean, he wasn't too bad against Boise State as well. I mean, if you look at the game against SMU, they didn't really have to put up points on offense because they got two touchdowns from pick sixes. So I think that maybe we just got a little tricked in thinking that this Penn State offense was going to play a lot better than it did. But again, credit to Marcus Freeman and Notre Dame and that defense, because as far as two units going up against each other that are playing the best at over the last few weeks, Ohio State offense versus Notre Dame defense, one of them's got to give. Which one's going to break? And I think this is hopefully going to be a great game.
We need to see one great game in this playoff, because really we haven't seen it since the first round.
Well, we got two. I mean, the
Penn State. Okay, so Penn State Notre Dame game.
That was a banger in the second half.
That was a better game.
And then even the Ohio State Texas. Texas was right there, about to tie that game up in the late in the fourth quarter, and then bam, four plays, goal line stand, scoop and score, fumble.
All the first round games were just a little bit better. You know, at the Arizona State and Texas game, which was, you know, an amazing game. We'll see what happens. Notre Dame is a boring team. I've always thought Notre Dame was super, super boring. So we'll see. You know, this is a game where I don't really care who wins. No, I have no dog in the fight. Who cares?
Are you going to even watch?
I'll watch it because people are going to be watching. It's Monday night, but now that Raw is on Netflix, who knows?
Like, oh, my God.
We'll see.
You realize you host Football Sunday, not Monday night, Raw Sunday.
I can watch both.
That game, yeah, two Mondays from now on the 20th. Ohio State, 8.5-point favorite, though.
That sounds right.
Well, I hope it's not right.
That sounds right.
For the love of God. Let's take a break, talk a little bit more about these playoffs and the NFL playoffs as well. Do that next, but first, Schulte, SportsCenter update. Just had to go Coach Fisher on my son.
Man, we're giving motivational speeches over here. I feel like I can go hoop today.
Yeah, I mean, hell.
You know what? I will be aggressive, Dad. Thank you.
What are some of these NFL head coach opens? You know, I'll fill that gap.
That is 7-9 bullsh.
Yeah, I think I could be a good motivator coach. Yeah. X's and O's, you know, I'll get some good coordinators for that.
If you didn't hear the conversation, which none of you did, that Joe just had with his son, it's really sweet. Told him, you better effing kill tonight. Don't plan on coming home if you suck. And if you do suck, you're dead to me and I'm making another kid.
Yeah.
Is essentially what he said.
Yeah, you will no longer be the prodigy. I will start working on another one immediately. No food. No food for you.
You got to beat greatness into him like Joe Jackson.
Well, no. Won't do that.
It works.
I'll just 1,000 jumpers after the game. We're staying after. We're not leaving until I'd
rather get the whoop.
500 makes.
I'd rather get the beating.
I'll never forget my dad, pretty much during every basketball game of my young life, just being like, put your hands up on defense! That was his motivator.
Oh, yeah, my son, he's does not respond well to me saying something to him in-game.
Ah, yeah.
He's told his mom many times, like, can you tell him to stop talking to me and stop yelling stuff at me during the game? So I have to be very selective and very, you know.
I can't watch my son play. I can't. Like, I mean, not for me, for him, because he won't stop looking at me like,
was that right?
That was it, right? That's what we worked on.
And you're
on.
Just looking at him, shaking your head.
And so I have to, like, seriously, like, when he's in wrestling practice and everything like that, like, I physically have to leave the room so this way he can make sure he focuses and does the things that he's supposed to do. So when I do watch him, I just kind of catch him from, like, the corner of somewhere to not let him know that I'm here watching every move, so this way he can concentrate a little bit.
Well, Joey's got a lot of pressure today because the gym that he's playing in, this is at Sherwood Middle School, which used to actually be my high school.
Yes.
They changed it to Sherwood Middle School because they got that gigantic new high school.
It's very nice.
And they are playing in the Ox Gym. And I got a history with that gym as a spectator, not playing. My freshman year of high school, my buddies that played on the freshman team for Sherwood went undefeated at home in that gym because we got it absolutely. It was basically like Cameron Indoor Stadium in that bitch. Like, it was Century, Glencoe, Hillsboro, whoever came through that Ox gym at the former Sherwood High School, now current Sherwood Middle School, they were in for a night. They were in for a rude awakening. And so I'm undefeated as a spectator in that gym, and Joey better not ruin that tradition for me.
What about as a player in that gym? different story, eh?
Maybe some, like, a lunch break 3-on-3 games, you know?
That's cool.
You know,
lunch basketball went so hard.
Playing some tips?
Yeah, yeah. Whoa. What?
No, just, you never heard of tips?
Hold on. Yeah, I have.
Okay.
I think we played a different game.
Okay. Yeah. No, the basketball game, tips.
Oh, okay.
Good Lord.
Okay. Do you know that game, though?
Nah, I mean, when we played Crunch or whatever, if you get a tip in, like, somebody's got to go back to, if they got over 15, they got to go back to, like, 8.
No. Yeah, that's kind of like 21 in a sense. Yeah, no.
Yeah, I remember that.
No, tips was, there's three dudes on the three-point line, and then there are three guys in the paint, and teams take turns shooting three-pointers. You know, if you make a three-pointer, it's a point. If you miss, the team that is in the paint has a chance to tip it in, but you have to be off the ground to catch the ball, and you have three chances to get it in. So you can either run and grab the ball off the miss and pass it to a teammate, or you can go up for the shot, but you have to be off the ground. So it's like you're alley-ooping to each other, essentially. And if you can get that shot in three times, then the team in the paint gets a point. And so then after 5-point intervals,
just playing teams, basketball,
team switch, in a sense. Yeah. It's sort of like it.
Yeah, and psych outs and whatnot.
Yeah. Oh, there would be psych outs. Yeah. Hear your mom's going out with squeak.
What?
Oh, my God. This is Marlon Brando's fat liposuction out of his ass.
Oh,
why am I doing this?
Oh, it's all salty and warm. What a great movie. If you guys haven't seen Basketball, number one, shame on you.
Yes.
Because it was a gem of 1998. You know, but yeah, go ahead and do yourself a favor. It's still funny. I watched it maybe a few weeks ago. Still pretty funny.
Australians.
How to speak Australian.
Forsters. Hey, you know, speaking of coaching and getting my son all hyped up for his basketball games that they'll probably end up losing, won't say that as a coach. Hey, no. Guys, I know we're probably going to lose today, yeah. But, you know.
Let's go out there and give it the old college try.
Effort, right? You got a new head coach. Congratulations, yeah, dude.
I mean.
Let's go Vrabel.
No, we'll take Mike Tomlin. That's one of those things.
Going from one former Patriot linebacker to another former Patriot linebacker. Gerard Mayo, no longer the coach of the Patriots, obviously, as announced last week. And now Mike Vrabel, going to be the next head coach. The Patriot way continues.
I hate it.
Rashad is stoked.
I hate it. No, he's not.
You can see it in his face.
No, he's not.
Not Rashad his voice. If you're listening, you just can't see the excitement.
Rashad is bummed.
The joy.
You too. That look
is
in my face.
That is being exuded.
If you can get a close-up on my, like, this
unforgivable.
Is, that's the way it feels. Like, man, listen. I wasn't on board with hiring Gerard Mayo in the first place.
Aww.
I wasn't. Here's why, and I've said this before. When you have a rookie quarterback, a young quarterback, the last thing you want to do is give him a defensive-minded head coach. Like, you have to have guys that know how to put together an offense for this young mind who's coming into the NFL and still trying to figure everything out. Every single, for the most part, ones I can think of off top, every great quarterback that came in under a guy that, you know, that ended up doing well, came in under a guy that knew what they were doing. Or if they didn't have a guy that knew what they were doing, once they got that guy, oh, okay, well, what do you know? Alex Smith doesn't suck at quarterback. He's actually pretty good. You know, he got his team to an NFC championship, got his team to some playoffs in the AFC and everything like that. I want to say maybe one AFC championship in between there for the Chiefs, but I can't really remember. What's my man's name? I'm spacing right now. Please forgive me. But Kaepernick was a nobody, an unknown backup who all of a sudden Harbaugh came in and was like, wait a minute, we have a weapon here that we should be using. And what do you know? Lit the world on fire for what, 4 or 5 seasons, somewhere in between there.
Yeah, and seasons after that too.
I mean, well, hey, I mean, he started a movement. But,
get
you know,
that son of a bitch off the field.
Off the field, yeah.
He's fired.
Thanks, Trump. But I just honestly think that you're setting your rookie or young quarterback up for failure when you're giving him a defensive-minded head coach. Look at what Mariota wasn't able to do as a Titan with Mike Vrabel as his head coach.
I'm going
to
throw this right back at you, though. You give me a hot tennis serve there. Jaden Daniels. Dan Quinn.
Okay. Yeah.
Dan Quinn's defensive coordinator.
He's
a defensive-minded coach. But
Cliff.
Also, I was going to say, my serve back at you might not be as good because, yeah, at least he's got an OC like Cliff Kingsbury, who is offensive-minded. And
Dan Campbell in Detroit with Ben Johnson, defensive, but with the offensive coordinator.
And there it is. If you're going to do that and be Bill Belichick, I'm going to go get a Josh McDaniels, who is an offensive, maybe not the best head coach, you know, but I can definitely draw up a play that's going to get us there. And when you don't have that, you're going to struggle a little bit. The Raiders don't just suck because they suck. They suck because their head coach has, I'm not going to say no idea, but isn't an offensive mind like that.
He should have never been hired as the head coach anyways.
No. So, I mean, I don't know. I'm not thrilled about Mike Vrabel. We've seen Mike Vrabel be a head coach.
Hey, the dude's willing to sacrifice his meat and potatoes for a Super Bowl victory, okay? He said that.
I don't know what that means.
The baseball bat and two balls. He's willing to give that up.
Oh, is he?
Oh,
that's
yeah.
Stupid. I'm not doing that. But I mean, I get it. Like, I don't want to win that bad though. Seriously, if somebody was like, "Hey, man, how about this? Cowboys win the next 3 Super Bowls, but you can't have sex for the next 3 years."
Dude,
you taking that?
3 straight Super Bowls?
You taking that?
3 years?
Three years. But hey, guess what? You're done.
No skush for 3 years. No, but I get 3 Cowboys Super Bowls in a row.
In a row.
That's never been done, Rashawn.
In a row. Are you doing it?
I mean,
hell no, you're not.
I've gone 3 years before. That was on accident, though.
Now you're purposely doing it all of a sudden. Yeah, I don't think Jordan. So the Mariners win the next.
Let me talk to
the next three World Series, man.
Let me talk to the girlfriend about this and see what she says.
Man, please. Absolutely.
Yeah, because my wife would be right out on that. She'd be like, well, you better enjoy the relationship.
Get me a boyfriend or something
exactly,
like that. Yeah.
Here's the divorce papers. Yeah, you know, and this was something I was thinking about yesterday, too, because I don't know what coach was or what team was looking at him, but former Bears head coach Matt Eberflus is starting to get some calls about defensive coordinator jobs. And part of me, when I see Matt Eberflus's name, I'm just like, that joke?
Pass.
But then again, it's like we have seen coaches that become coordinators after a bad head coaching stint as the Broncos fake punt. Oh, my God.
Let's go, Denver.
Wow, pulling out all the stops. But we've seen it all the time, like former head coaches that turn to coordinators. It's very rare that we do see the Dan Quinns of the world go from like head coach to coordinator back to head coach and be successful. I mean, like I might be completely missing one and forgetting one.
Josh McDaniels was a OC, went to be head coach, was terrible at that, and then came back to be OC.
Well, I'm trying to think of the reverse of that. Like Dan Quinn was a coordinator before he was head coach for the Falcons as well, but going from head coach back to coordinator and then back to being a successful head coach, usually you'll see some guys when they are done with their head coaching stint, go have some success as a coordinator, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, to think of one former Cowboy head coach, Wade Phillips, he goes to be a coordinator for the Broncos, wins a Super Bowl, actually has one of the best units, defensive units that we've seen in a while. That Broncos defense that won a Super Bowl for them with Peyton Manning and his immobile neck.
Chip Kelly, you know, somebody who was just really changed the way college football looks, you know, for a long time. And as a head coach, and now
Brian Flores. He's having a hell of a year, right?
Yeah. So there's some. It happens out there, but just not as often.
Yeah,
you know, not as often.
Well, that is one head coach domino that has fallen. The Patriots have their next head coach. We're still waiting on the Jags, the Bears, which I don't know if you saw, some kids pranked Caleb Williams.
Yeah, I saw that. That's good.
Some kids, teenagers, they had his cell phone somehow and texted Caleb Williams like, hey, this is Ben Johnson. I'm taking the Bears head coaching job. I wanted to tell you first before it came out, and you know, don't tell anyone. But excited to get to work with you. And Caleb Williams is like, really, Ben? And send him a whole like, man, really looking forward to it. This is going to be awesome. I can't wait to go to work.
January fools.
And then, sure enough, they do a FaceTime video chat. And as soon as Caleb Williams sees some like young white teenage kid, he just starts laughing right away. Some other kid's like, come to Miami.
Well, way to have be in good spirits about that, Caleb Williams. I think that's good because there are a lot of players that would have been pissed the F off.
It's like, damn it. So, yeah, Coach Domino's, I'm sure, will be falling here soon. You know, if you're a good franchise, you'll want to get your coach situation figured out before you start getting into the offseason with and the draft preparation. But very intrigued to see what happens. Apparently, there was some rumors about the Raiders maybe being interested in Dion. It has now come out that the Vegas Raiders have zero interest in Sanders for their head coaching job, which is probably a smart choice.
Well, probably because Dion had zero interest in leaving Colorado for the Raiders.
And the Bears are in Marcus Freeman. How about that? Let's take a break, though. We're already up against the theme of the show today. We wrap up things next here, Football Sunday, 10 of the Fan. I just had to ask Rashad as we close out Football Sunday here that whatever happened to Bills Mafia throwing sex toys onto the football field? How come that tradition didn't stick around?
Probably stopped snorting cocaine during games,
jumping through tables.
And probably realized how weird you look going into your local adult store and be like, hey, can I get three?
Do you guys have any red and blue sex toys, kind of in the print of like Zumba pants by chance?
Some Bengals colors, you know, something like that.
I mean, Bills fans are known for being exceptionally nuts. I don't know if they get the reputation like Philly fan does, but there's
Philly fans are just not
they're miserable. Angry. right?
Just and they're miserable.
But this is like crazy party. They might jump off the top like level of the roof and just try to have fun with it.
Have y'all
don't do that.
Have y'all seen those videos? And it's usually like a kid who'll wear like an Ohio State jersey and go to a Michigan game or vice versa, or you know, wear a Chargers jersey to a Raider game. And just watch the interaction that people have. People that he's not saying anything to. They're just walking by and saying, man, you effing suck. Or calling them all types of, you know, just terrible things. You know what I mean? But I'm like, man, people are crazy about this team who doesn't give a damn about you at all. They like your money, but this team hasn't done. I'll say this, though. My buddy Chris in Portland is one of our P1s, who's also a jerk, right? Because... He goes to
this
LA.
Saxophone, Chris?
Yes, it is. So he goes to LA and he goes to the Lakers and Blazers game, I think it was, when it was in just a little bit ago. And he comes back and he gives me like a Christmas present because Kobe is my favorite all-time player. He feels like, oh, well, you're a Laker fan. It's like, no, Kobe fan. Very different. And I think now we can distinguish the difference between Kobe fans and Laker fans. Very different. But I guess the Lakers were giving out like kind of like postcards, like LA Lakers postcards, like a pack of like five or something like that to every fan that came and sat in a certain section. It had me thinking, I've never gotten anything from the Blazers. Never one time. The only thing I get is when somebody like, oh, we got 100 points, so here's your chalupa or here's your McMuffin or, you know, somebody
you didn't
made
get one of those t-shirts?
At the beginning of the season or during the playoffs. It's the only time okay. They ever give you something. Here's something, hey, man, thanks. Like, come on, Blazers. Give me something for all these years of torment that you've pretty much put us through.
I think the Blazers could do themselves a favor by bringing back the 100-point chalupa. The six McNuggets through an app?
Who wants that?
No.
No one.
I want the coupon, paper coupon, handed to me as I'm walking throughout that door.
I'm going straight to Taco Bell as soon as it's over.
Also, Gordita versus chalupa. Gordita is the superior taco variant.
I don't know, man. Chalupa, it's all warm. Mm.
Well, I mean, a gordita is warm,
yeah,
too.
It is, too, but I like...
You're getting non-warm gorditas or chalupas.
I think I'm going to go with that chalupa, man.
I miss the chalupa.
Yeah, I think that chalupa is the one.
The chalupa they still have, it's the gordita they got rid of.
Yeah, which was silly because nobody liked the gordita.
No, I missed the free chalupa.
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm saying.
That's the only way I ate it. I never ordered a chalupa, but if we got 100 points, yeah.
In these trying times for the Blazers, you want to sell some tickets. You want people in those seats. You bring back that chalupa promotion ASAP.
I need to hear Mark Mason shout, chalupa, one more time.
I need a full Moda Center chanting chalupa as the team is at 99 points.
Chalupa.
And that player lines up for that last free throw. I need it. Also, I need some good football games today. I think we all do.
At least one.
Yes. Yes. Please. For Rashad Taylor, thank you as always.
My guy, great to see you.
Jordan Schultz across the glass, thank you as always.
Love you guys. My Love God. You all out there. Enjoy your football today and tomorrow.
We will catch you next Sunday at 9 a.m., the final show before the college football championship game between Ohio State and Notre Dame.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Thank you all for listening out there. We will catch you next Sunday. Peace.